Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We are just so blessed that you've tuned into our program, and you are going to be so blessed with the lesson from Tara today. It's on Philippians 1, 21 through 30, and Paul is really teaching us how to live and to die for Christ.
Yeah, this passage is really fun. Last time we kind of started on verse 21, but we didn't get to fully grasp into this passage. And so we're going to dig in and we'll see how far we can get. We're hoping we get to verse 30, but we may not. We're taking it slow. And so we just want to just rightly divide the word of God. We will read it in the whole context of verses 21 through 30. So this is what the passage says. Paul said, "For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am pressured by both. I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain in the flesh, it's more necessary for you. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of me, your confidence may grow in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Just one thing. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, and then whether I come and see you or if I am absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, working side by side for the faith that comes from the gospel, not being frightened in any way by your opponents. This is a sign of destruction for them, but of your deliverance, and this is from God. For it has been given to you on Christ's behalf not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I have." May God honor the reading of his word. Okay, so the first part, just to help us get reconnected, we've gone through and that Paul has, he is writing to the Philippians, the people of Philippi, because he just has a deep love for them, a deep heart connection for them. And he's really trying to encourage them because they're hearing of his suffering, that he is in prison and it's imminent that he is going to be executed. And so this is the forefront of his mind. So he's wanting them to be encouraged and strengthened, but he's also heard of their hardship because we'll learn later in the book that they have sent Epaphroditus to him. And he's going to be sending him back to take the message. So that kind of just sets the stage of what we're looking at. So Paul, this verse is where it's actually, the theologians say that it's probably the most famous and the most important verse of this book, is to live as Christ and to die as gain. And I guess I was just going to ask off right quick, Sandy and Adriana, why do you think that is? Why do you think that they would say this is the most important verse or most significant part of this book? To live as Christ and to die as gain.
Because even, you know, Paul's taught us this, you know, that it is what we need to do. You know, we are to live for Christ in everything we do, and everything we do, we honor him. But if we die, you know, just like Paul said, it's a gain. It's a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think it just kind of condenses a lot of what Paul is trying to say in this book and through a lot of his writings, too. And just puts them all in like one concise sentence. And I mean, it's really powerful too, because like, it's just, it puts everything into perspective basically. And it makes you go, okay, I guess you're right. You know, like, yes, if we live, we should be living, serving Christ and doing his will, and he will provide fulfillment through that. And if we die, wonderful.
Right. I giggled when you said it's to put it all in perspective, because my next question was going to be, how does this help us put things in perspective?
Sorry.
No, I think that's good. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit at work. It just made me giggle. And it does help us put it in perspective. It's really an important thing. So much so, let me show you, Dee, what I did in my... Okay. Is that funny? Yeah. I'm showing her that in my Bible, on the cover of Philippians, where it gives the history and context, I have the word perspective written huge going across the page. You know, this book does help us put things in the perspective that we need. And this concept that Paul gives, I wanted us to focus in before we look at to live as Christ and then die as gain. I wanted us to see kind of like the internal thing that is happening from the Greek, the torn between the two. Paul implies that, you know, he's feeling pressured. In the translation I have, he says, I'm pressured by both. And in the Greek, this word pressure from two sides, it in English, it implies that it's a pulling on the two sides. And one Barclay, I think it was Barclay, the commentator, he said that if you could visualize somebody walking down a very tall stone wall on both sides, and that it's so tight, and the passageway that you've traveled, you can't turn around and go back. You have to keep moving forward. This is kind of what is happening in Paul's mind, is that I'm being pressed in and I'm being pulled from, and that the only thing I can do is keep that movement moving forward, having the steps going forward. Mm. And it's coming from the fact that he knows he's going to be executed, so it's imminent. So he is very aware of his death coming. And so he's pondering this as this is happening. So we have to keep that in mind as we're thinking through what Paul's experiencing. So to live as Christ, last time we hinted, we called this, that we said that he's really talking about fruitful labor. And I said, yeah, we all need to be fruity, you know. And so we want to ask the question, why is living in Christ a gain? Why is it a gain for us? What benefit is it to us to live in Christ? And because somebody listening is like, I don't get it. And this happened to me in Guatemala. I just got back from a mission trip with students from Grace University. And there was a lady staying in the house that we were staying in, and a professor graduate from Oxford University. And I mean, she's lived in Belgium, and she's presently living in Greece, but she's staying in Guatemala for 3 months as she's doing, she's a doctoral psychologist doing research, assisting the school systems with the children, and an atheist. Well, and she's like, that's fine for you, but I have no need for that. I have no reason to believe what you say. It has no gain for me, has no benefit. I don't believe in death. And so we have to ask this question in order to be able to answer that. What is the gain to live in Christ?
And that's it. It's to witness to people that need Christ. Mm-hmm. That we continually, you know, lead them to Jesus and the truth.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, it also has to do with the joy that we find in Christ throughout our day-to-day walk. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that he is there and that he cares for us and that he is, basically that he has a purpose for our lives. Because, I mean, if you don't have Christ, your purpose is either, it feels as though a lot of times it's either that you are like trying to somehow make yourself better, or either that or there is no purpose, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, yes to both of what you said, but I will confess, I am trained. I have the doctorate of supposedly this person's supposed to know how to, and I've had the privilege of leading people. And the more I talked with this woman, the more I realized I couldn't show her because she wasn't open to hearing. I mean, it wasn't there. And so the conversation was more just the first time me listening, and then started having people pray on the team and different things and asking God for opportunity. And then one night we had an opportunity where we had a chance to talk again, and we were discussing things. And I'm sitting there and listening to her, and she's like, every time I would say something that may have been Christian, she would shut me off and then continue her conversation. Mm-hmm. And I was just begging God. I'm like, I don't know how to help her see. I could not get through. And so I was asking God, helping me to see through her worldview. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I had a student sitting at a table behind me, a student that was in the corner of the house, the way that the courtyard was set up, we're like sitting on the couch and there's our rooms all surround the courtyard. And so students were in the corner sleeping. The guys were in their room sleeping. It's late at night. They all knew. I like to go to bed early, and we're getting up early. And I'm sitting up and talking because I needed to. And so they're in their room praying. And then another person walked by, was brushing their teeth. And so they started praying because they could hear what was going on. And then all of a sudden I just said, you know, I see that you have your worldview and that you're pretty set in your worldview. But I can't talk to you or to anybody else, just as you can't, without talking through my worldview. And my worldview is from the Bible. It is from a Christian worldview. And so I can only talk from that which I know. And she's like, it's all, you know, it's all about tolerance. It's all about you. I tolerate you. And I'm like, and I just told her, I said, you know, I really believe that word is a very offensive word. And she couldn't believe it because she thinks the word is amazing. Mm-hmm. And God opened the door to where I actually got to talk. And I said, Christians have been condemned over and over because of the word of intolerance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where we're not allowed to speak, but everybody else should be allowed to. We're stopped,
yep,
and not allowed to speak from our worldview of a Christian perspective. And I go, if somebody truly is tolerant, then they should allow that perspective to be spoken. And then all of a sudden, she stopped stopping me when I would speak from my worldview of Christianity. And I don't remember everything I said because it was one of those hours where you're talking and things are coming out, people are praying, it's just the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. She didn't come to know the Lord, but she did start coming out and talking to our team where she had stayed hidden in her room and really got into talking to us. And so being able to ask that question, why is living in Christ a gain? And trying to find a way to make that connection, to get the perspective so that we can bring somebody into the conversation is critical. Mm-hmm. And so it blew my mind away. And so that's the fruitful labor. Right. So going back
to... And that's planting a seed.
It is so planting a seed.
Yeah.
And she was grieving because her freshly ex-husband, she just got divorced, is Belgium. And so that happened while we were there. And this is when the conversation started because she was grieving and getting all of this Facebook feedback of people that she loves, of things that have happened and not able. And she had no way of finding comfort. And that's what started the conversation. I'm like, well, where's your comfort? And she's like, I have no comfort. Where is comfort? You know, it's like there is no such thing. And, you know, I kept trying to say, you know, I do have the joy, but the comfort is what I used.
Okay. And I think that's also a thing that others don't understand is like when we're going through those trials or those adversities, but we're still joyful.
Yeah.
You know, that they need to see our living it out.
Sure.
I guess.
Totally.
And that's what she saw.
Yeah. And that is what Paul's challenging. As we get further in the letter, we're going to see that's exactly what Paul's asking. So things that I wrote down, that it's a combination. This comes from, I've mixed Barclay, Guzik, and Holman Christian, because they all kind of had their different ways of putting it, and then it's kind of my words, and so it's a meshing, I just want to say, of these different commentators and my words together. But in order to show that why living is in Christ is a gain, the first is Jesus gives life, right? Like, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life. First and foremost, it's about the gospel message of eternal life.
That's our hope.
Yep. The second thing is that he gives us purpose, which connects with what Dee was saying. And in this purpose, it's not just he's defined and said, you have a purpose. No, it literally is that so that in that purpose, we have the ability to lead, to encourage, to strengthen those. And you can see those words when we get into the letter further. We're going to see that Paul actually uses a lot of these words within it. And so in providing that purpose and knowing what that purpose is helps people to want the life. Do you guys remember, or have you found your purpose? Do you know yet? Have you figured it out? You're in process.
I mean, for me, basically, I know what the general purpose is. I'm still... I mean, I have an idea of what specific purpose is. Like, for me, I mean, I know that God has given me a passion and a desire to basically to be able to do full-time ministry. Mm-hmm. Now, what that looks like exactly for me, that, I mean, I have the feeling that it's in camping ministry just because that seems to be where God has aligned my passions and stuff. But at the same time, like, I'll pursue that. And if God says, hey, you know what, actually, go this direction instead. It's like, okay, well, you basically, there's a certain amount of trust just because it's like, okay, well, God, you know what I need, you know where I'm needed, mm-hmm. and you'll orchestrate things so that I am there.
That's cool. Well, that's said. Funny. I prayed that for you this morning. As I was praying over you, I was praying about your camping ministry and for God's will and if it's God's will and for you to give clarity in that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Sandy, do you remember when God was clarifying for you your purpose?
I think it just comes back to the experiences that I've lived through. Mm-hmm. You know, that I can encourage those, you know, as a widow. Mm. And I've also talked about the breast cancer. And, you know, there's just so many things that he uses. Mm. And I love that because I really feel like I'm an encourager. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So.
Right.
I like to give.
Right. For me, with purpose, whereas I think at the age that Adriana is at 20.
Yeah.
Ish.
20-ish.
To 19.
19, yep.
That's what I was thinking. You're not 20 yet. You're 20
next
in
week.
A couple of weeks.
Yes.
And so we think of it as a title. But what I've discovered is that God's purpose is it's the to lead, to encourage, to strengthen. The title's a non-factor. Right. That's the reason why you're able to say, well, if it is camping, then so be it. But if right. it's not, I recognize the fact that he's going to put me in ministry to where I can lead, I can encourage, and I can strengthen. Mm-hmm. And so when I was, I guess, being called out to full-time ministry, for me it was Colossians 2:2-3. He actually gave me a verse that became my life verse, which is, my purpose, mm-hmm. which is actually says it,
right.
Paul's speaking, to encourage their hearts, unite them in love, and reveal the mysteries of the gospel, namely Jesus Christ, where all the treasures of heaven are hidden. And that's paraphrasing it. But
that's pretty much all our purpose, too.
It is.
Everyone's.
It is.
That's just a but, you united know, purpose, too.
Exactly. And so being willing to hold back, and so asking God every time I'm asked to do something, does it fulfill this? Mm. Can I, with my gifting, my passions, honor what I feel he's called me to? And then that's when I know I can move forward. And then, you know, trust that I can take the steps and he's going to set the path straight.
Yeah.
You know, that he may say right. no to being a full-time writer because he really intends me to be. We were talking about this before the show, because he intends me to be a full-time discipler. Mm-hmm. And you got to do.
Opens doors and closes
that's
doors,
right.
for sure.
So we're glad you're listening. You need to come back because we just got to point 2 and we have quite a few still under that, what it means to live as Christ. God bless.